Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey guys, it's me, Sam Stein, back again. Made it through the weekend here on Monday. I'm joined by Ben Walsh, business and finance journalist extraordinaire, old colleague of mine. We're going to be talking about crypto, which I know very little of, which is why we have Ben here. Mainly, we're going to be talking about Trump's weekend announcement about a crypto reserve, which is going over like a old turd in some corners of the crypto universe. All right, Ben. Dude,
yes.
So we were talking a bit about this. We're not totally sure if this is official U.S. policy because it was presented in the form of a Truth Social post. But over the weekend, I'm going to just read what Trump wrote, and then you could react to it and give me your summarization of what's going on here. He writes, quote, a U.S. crypto reserve will elevate this critical industry after years of corrupt attacks by the Biden administration, which is why my executive order on digital assets directed the presidential working group to move forward on a crypto strategic reserve that includes XRP, SOL, and ADA. I will make sure the U.S. is the crypto capital of the world. Blah, 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 blah. And obviously, he adds BTC, ETH, and other valuable cryptocurrencies will be the heart of the reserve. I also love Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Ethereum.
Okay. So long story short, Trump's creating a reserve.
Yeah.
There are five tokens. Two are well-established ones. That would be Bitcoin and Ether. And then there's the three newer ones. That's XRP, Solana, and Cardano. What do you make of this? Like, what is this complete corruption? Is this like smart, savvy? What is the deal?
Well, I guess if you're the one doing the corruption, it's savvy. Which I mean, you know, this is when people talk about the significant shift in Silicon Valley elites to Trump in the 2024 election. You know, there are lots of things that get brought up in terms of issues that the big tech companies have with their workforces, regulation, antitrust, et cetera. But really, you know, when you look at the people specifically who are very wealthy, who shifted their support, you know, maybe from kind of on the fence or being kind of Romney Republicans to just being full on hardcore MAGA guys, it's a crypto thing. It's a crypto thing. And what they need, the two kind of things you need to understand about crypto is that it operates on two fundamental principles. One is money laundering. And the second one is the greater fool theory. They always need to find someone else to sell this stuff to.
Right.
Right. So, you know, everyone always talks about, oh, what's the use case for, you know, what's the use case for crypto? The use cases are money laundering and it goes up in price. Those are the two. That's it.
Sounds like Bernie Madoff to me.
Well, it is a
you need return on investments consistent to get new investors.
Yeah. I mean, you need other people to sell it to, and you know, the people who are using it for money laundering. That's not really an expanding market per se. The crypto's already, you know, tapped that out. All the criminals who want to use Bitcoin and other crypto coins are doing it. And I think that, you know, that's a story that is bigger than people realize and is more important than people realize. You know, North Korea is a huge crypto user, for instance. It's a real problem. The greater fool thing is a real problem if you're an American consumer and you're just like seeing a crypto ad and you're like, yeah, I'll download the app and do that. Sure.
All right. So Ben, what was just back up a second.
Yeah.
Trump kind of becomes a crypto evangelist during the course of the campaign, largely because he was getting an incredible amount of financial support from crypto advocates into his campaign and his election bid.
And because he launched his own coin and it was successful.
Well, that came later. That came right before the presidency. But why? Tell us a little bit about the idea behind having a strategic reserve. What is the point of a strategic reserve for crypto?
Well, I mean, let's back up. And what's the point of a strategic reserve for any currency? And the point is that the U.S. Treasury, which has strategic reserves of foreign currency and gold, may at times need to buy either U.S. dollars or U.S. debt in order to influence markets and to back the currency of the United States. So there's a legitimate reason to hold currency reserves. Okay. What's the legitimate reason to hold a cryptocurrency reserve?
Yes.
Basically none, because there's no policy reason why the US should at some point have to sell crypto to buy dollars. Why? It makes no logical sense, and it makes no financial market sense.
Now, what Trump and his people will say is, well, you know, this is a burgeoning currency. We want to make sure there's some stability behind it in case things go, you know, completely bonkers and sideways. We will be able to inject some currency into the marketplace if needed. And beyond that, frankly, we can make some money here for the United States by owning these reserves. Is that legit?
Well, the U.S. government having sort of a vested interest in a specific asset class that isn't, you know, kind of the broad economic prosperity of the United States is a fairly dangerous road to go down. We've seen in the past, you know, specific asset classes that the U.S. government has gotten very deeply involved in propping up, and that doesn't end well.
Like what?
Well, you know, the U.S. mortgage bubble is a huge is a huge ball of wax.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the things that was going on there was that the U.S. government, through Fannie and Freddie, was participating in the market to a massive degree. And the U.S. government still participates massively in the mortgage market. But there was basically a policy incentive from all branches of government minus the judiciary to push mortgages right, in terms of origination. So that was one version. But what's very problematic about this specific one is that, you know, to acquire a crypto reserve, you have to buy the crypto from someone.
Right.
And so what is effectively happening is that the biggest holders of crypto are looking to unload it onto someone. And they've fully saturated basically the market for consumer invest, you know, retail investors effectively, who want to buy crypto for obvious reasons, because it rises and it crashes and, you know, right, FTX blows up and where's your money and who knows. It's not a safer kind of, you know, normal thing to invest in, although it's become normalized. And so they're looking for who to sell it to next. And
here comes
the U.S. right? government is a big buyer.
Right. Well, you got to the next question, which is, you know, how much of this is just people, you know, pumping and dumping, right? Like, so you talked about the Trump meme coin that came out right before he took office. People were shocked to see it. It rose dramatically in value. People jumped in early and got some wealth from it, and since has dissipated in wealth. First of all, are there any rules to prevent this stuff? And secondarily, is how much do you? I mean, the accusation for this reserve is that at least the three more volatile currencies are essentially pump and dump schemes, in that someone could have gotten a heads up that this was announcement was coming, and it looks like this one investor made a significant amount of money and then just bought it, rode the wave.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, one is that there are no regulations. That was something that, you know, the Biden administration was pushing to do. Right. Gary Gensler at the SEC got a huge amount of heat and hate from the crypto industry, you know, for his efforts to regulate crypto like a security, which is what it is. It's not all other called currencies. They don't function like a currency. You know, you don't wake up and, you know, tomorrow the US dollar is worth 45% more, and then the next day it's worth 35% less. That's not how, I mean, right, imagine buying and selling.
People are playing this like it's a gambling game, like it's a
yes,
market, and they're
right,
trying to buy yes, dips, and they're trying to get out on top. And that's basically it. It's a casino.
Yeah. And hearing that the casino is going to go around and hoover up a bunch of chips at an inflated price is a really good thing to know.
Right.
And so, to your point, if you know,
hold and then sell.
Yeah, right, yeah. If you know that this policy is coming down the pike, and specifically that Trump's buy, and you know, the other thing that I think is interesting is that he specifically named the currencies. And that, I think, is sort of the tell that this is all about pumping and dumping.
So he could have, in theory, just said, look, we're going to create a reserve. I will name a number of different currencies at a later date, or I won't even say it. Or we will look and create a commission to make sure that it's all above board. And, you know, but we're going to buy. But he didn't. He went with five very specific names.
Five very specific names. And the only reason to include those five specific names is so that the market knows that those are what they're looking at, and that there's going to be, you know, yesterday through, you know, for the couple of hours after the announcement, that those currencies spike. And so that people can, you know, who know can offload.
Now tell me, cause I'm totally new to this. I was reading online, but it's, you can tell who's making trades on these currencies, but that identity can be anonymous. So like, for instance, someone made something like 20 million off of these trades early yesterday, but we only know the username. We don't know the identity of the user. And that we may never know who this person is ever.
Correct. Yeah, correct. I mean, you know, the and the company with that user has made the account with, there are various ways they may never know. I mean, you can run a fully, if you want to, you can run a fully anonymized crypto wallet, and you know, we will never know. But yes, we do know that someone is making money, but we don't know who.
So the big person who's taking it on the chin this morning is David Sacks. He is the crypto czar, for lack of a better title, for Trump. He's a Silicon Valley guy who obviously was on the All In podcast crew, Big Bro Fest, finance dudes. And he joined the administration, kind of served as their emissary to Trump, and then joined the Trump administration specifically to help prop up the crypto industry through executive policy.
Right.
And he had holdings on some of these cryptocurrencies. Now, David says he sold all this stuff before he went into the administration, so he doesn't have a conflict, but he does have ties to investment firms that probably still have holdings here.
Yeah.
And some of his all-in brethren are not happy, honestly. They think this is wildly corrupt. What do you make of all this? Like, well, I didn't expect the all-in crew to go at each other like this. So this is kind of curious to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, they are correct that it is wildly corrupt. I'd also make a minor point, which is that if David Sacks did sell the entirety of his crypto holdings pre-inauguration, post-Trump victory, that actually would have been a savvy move, because Bitcoin has actually been taking it on the chin post-Trump inauguration.
Although it went up the last 3 days.
Right.
Now, well, but it's back down a little bit.
But it's instructive that that it's gone down, and they're issuing these statements that are not actual, you know, policy that can be implemented right now. They're just saying it is going to happen. And that, again, gets back to the greater fool thing, is that they need the line, as they say in crypto world, the line to go up, right? And if the line is not going up, they need to figure out what to do to make it go up. And so they add an incremental bit of news that says, oh, remember this strategic reserve? It's happening. And it's not just happening. Here are the five names that it's happening to. And that can help push things up for, you know, a day or two, or a week, or whatever it is.
This all falls apart when people basically, like, I've heard this all before. This is the boy who, the reverse of the boy who cried wolf. I've heard this all before. This is you just, you know, trying to juice the numbers. I'm not going to buy it. Fuck you, I'm selling. That's when it all falls apart.
Well, and or maybe it all falls apart when there's some actual policy that needs to get included in some, you know, massive appropriations bill in the House, or who knows what, and it doesn't get through, or it's in, and then it gets stripped out because someone's mad and they need one vote. You know, who knows? But yeah, they're going to, I think that the end game here is that you either establish the crypto reserve, and then it goes up, and then it crashes after that, and hopefully you get out then, or they don't establish a crypto reserve and things go sideways.
And so now let's, since you brought us to the legislative element here, I do have a couple questions. One is, and you might not know the answer to this because it's not clear to me either, but like, where do we get the money to buy the reserves, and how much are we buying? And are the, I mean, assuming the taxpayers are obviously on the hook for this, right? I mean, it's our money that funds the government. We're going to buy the reserves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's economic technicalities there, but yes, it's U.S. government funds. I don't see how you can do this absent a bit of legislation that says we can do this. You know, you mentioned before we came on about, well, maybe they can just put it in the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve will do it. I mean, there's two problems with that. One is that the Federal Reserve would then have to do it and actually take Trump's instruction, which I think would they would be very loath to do. The other kind of option, I mean, related to that, though, is that it's not clear that they're authorized. I mean, the Federal Reserve is an independent central bank created by the U.S. Congress. And it's not clear to me that they can just do something that's outside of their mandate or legislative or the authority that's been granted to them by legislation. The other option would be the U.S. Treasury, which is where foreign currency reserves sit. Again, same problem. Not obvious to me that they have the authority to do it.
They couldn't just simply transfer reserves already on tap in our currency or foreign currency and just swap them in as Bitcoin and just make it an even transaction?
I don't think that just pointing at something and calling it a currency means that you can include it in the foreign currency reserves.
I mean, we're in uncharted.
I mean, let's go to the fully absurd example, right? Sure. What if you point at Mar-a-Lago and you say that's a currency? And the U.S. government is going to buy it from Trump for...
We own real estate. The government owns tons of real estate.
Yeah, but it's not administered by the U.S. Treasury foreign currency reserves.
Yes. I mean, I guess the better analogy would be oil reserves in a way, right? Like we have...
Also created by very specific legislation. And there's very specific mechanisms through which oil is purchased and released.
Ben, I don't know if you're sitting down. I want to make sure you're sitting down at this one, but I've noticed that the Trump administration has not been particularly, adherent to the strict letter of the law. So it might be that, that they just decide to fucking do it, and
they might decide to just do it.
Who's going to stop them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lawsuit situation, and then. There you go. But
I will say this, they don't give a shit about some of the stuff. So it is what it is. But to me, as a political matter, doing this to enrich your billionaire crypto pals at the same time that you're cutting like NIH research and foreign aid is like, you know, that seems like a tough one to stomach politically. But they have a immaculate ability to spin this stuff into something that their base loves. Although in this case, the crypto base is not really in love in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's pretty ridiculous about this is that it's not, there's been a lot of speculation of like, well, if crypto goes sideways, does the U.S. government have to bail it out?
Right. Like an FDIC.
Right. Which is, one of the ironies of this whole thing is this is exactly the whole series of mechanisms that crypto was invented to sidestep, right? Was like government intervention, cronyism, et cetera, et cetera. But like the thing that I find kind of shocking about the whole thing, to the extent that you can find anything that they do shocking, is that it's not even a bailout. It's a pre-bailout, right?
Just in case
they're doing, people who invested in crypto are doing fine, especially the big guys who got in early and, know when to buy and sell based on inside information. Because again, there's no, in this market, there's no regulation, no insider trading, all that. So it's really just
Well, there is insider trading, but it's not regulated is what you're trying to say.
Well, I'll say insider trading is not illegal.
Yes, there you go.
So it's a pretty shocking bit of, corruption and kind of quid pro quo for electoral support. And it's remarkable that it's happening and it's just kind of all out there. And I guess part of what makes it quote unquote not a scandal is that it's all in public view.
Except it's not, because absurd. We don't know who the hell the traders are, but yeah, I get your point.
No, we don't.
I'm still waiting for my Haktua coin to materialize here, but it's taking a long time. All right, Ben Walsh, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. I really do like this stuff. I woke up, I was like, this is, I think I understand it, but I probably don't. And I'm glad to have you here explaining it to us. We'll have you back. As always, thanks for tuning in to you guys. Appreciate it. Subscribe to the feed where you can get all your free crypto advice, among other things. Take care.
Thank you, Sam.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.